is so overwhelmed by sadness that she gets stuck. She sees the first one to get there to see what's been happening. She was the last one to leave on the Friday, right? Last to leave, first to arrive, but actually stuck. She can only think, someone's stolen the body. There's thieves around, yeah? And she's stuck at that point, so she can't see what's coming, yeah. Thank you very much. What else did you notice? Something that came, yes?
Tomb and disciples.
Say again?
Tomb and disciples.
The tomb and the disciples. The tomb and the disciples. Yes, that's repeated many times again. You had a hand, yes?
Linen.
Sorry?
Linen.
Linen, okay. We've got linen in the picture. We'll come back to that. What do you notice that's repeated? I'm looking for the words repeated, yes?
Father,
yes? Did Jesus is there, sure. Did he get an extra one?
Lord.
Lord, yeah, okay. Anybody take us on from there? Anything that you're...
Running.
People, a lot of running around, isn't there? In the Middle East, respectable people don't run unless they're running across a five-line highway to avoid the cars. That's the only time you see them. And the older you are and the more respectful you're supposed to be, the less you run. But there's a lot of people running around here, aren't they? Scurrying about. What else do you notice? Let's have somebody who's not had a go. There's one word I'm looking for that you haven't said yet. Looking, seeing, Mary, we've got Mary, she's the focus of this one, thank you. She's right in the middle of the story. But it's this word, seeing. Seeing. They came, they saw, they went away. Comes again and again and again. I've got it four times in the first nine verses. And three times from verse 10 to 18. Now that's what I call repeated again, yeah? That's a lot, isn't it? And the point of it is this. Seeing is believing. That's what we say, isn't it? I won't believe unless I can see. And that's exactly what happened to them. They saw and they started to believe. Now there's another word that comes maybe once or twice that it gives a different angle to this. They saw and they believed, but they didn't something. Can you remember what that was? Understand was one. And what was Mary's one as well? I noticed it when Helen was reading it. Verse 9, they saw and believed, but they still didn't understand that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So there's a kind of believing that hasn't got it all worked out yet. They're making a journey here through this chapter. And Mary also seems to get it, but not quite get it. She's also on a journey along the way. Verse 14, she turned round and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was him. Not yet. She'll get it, but not yet. So this is really interesting, isn't it? We are celebrating now, and Tom Wright, who's the Bishop of Durham, who retired to go and teach in St. Andrews, he says we should have champagne breakfasts for 6 weeks after this day, right? Because we've got a lot to celebrate, and we've got a lot to enjoy. Well, I recommend it. We're also going to follow this theme of seeing is believing for these next 4 weeks, because there's a whole bunch of people in John 20 and John 21 who see and believe. And there's something even more going on, because what John is saying is their seeing means you're believing now, 21 centuries on. I wonder if you can see how that works. They saw these things, as it were, face to face, one by one. And they eventually believed, and they trusted what they saw, and they told the story, and actually many of them went on to write down their story in different ways. Why? Well, they wanted to tell this story because there was no story like it, but they wanted to tell this story so that all their friends and their neighbors and their colleagues and their contemporaries would find it out for themselves. And now we have that story written for us in multiple languages all the way down the centuries, and it works like this. How can you know what to believe? You can believe now in 2015 because of what they saw back in the first century. Seeing is believing. And some of the details here show you how this works. Like in verse 7 and 8, the grave clothes. Jesus' body passed through those clothes. You might remember in John's Gospel, there's someone else who dies and gets in a tomb and gets out again once more. Can you remember his name? Anybody tell me? Lazarus. Thank you very much. Now, the trouble with Lazarus is that he's a human being, and one day he's going to need his grave clothes again. So I don't know whether he kept hold of them, ready for the day, or whether he got rid of them and somebody gave him some more. But he was raised to life because he was sick and died, and then he's going to die again. But not here. Jesus rose through the grave clothes, and did you notice that lovely little detail? He left the head cloth neatly folded up, as if to say, I won't be needing to use that again. I'm done. He passes through the clothes and out of the tomb. That's an amazing detail that you see. Mary comes in and she sees, and then she sees people. She sees the angel. She sees this figure. It's the gardener, or so she thinks. It's rather a nice touch, actually, that some of the early Christians got hold of this. And they said, well, actually, Jesus is the gardener. He's the gardener of the whole world. He's the gardener of the universe. He was the architect of our created world. And all of this is happening, we were told this in verse 1, on the first day. In other words, the first day of the week is when the new creation begins. We've had the creation of the world, but now we've got the creation of the new life that Jesus brings. That's another little detail. He's recreating the world, introducing a whole new world of resurrection life, and making us his new creation. Mary, I said she got overwhelmed. She got stuck, you see, right at the beginning. She couldn't see what was going on because it's like the clock stopped, like that one up there. Can you see? I've got lots of time today because you didn't put the hour on, did you, a couple of weeks ago? Huh? I lost 2 hours traveling a couple of weeks ago. One in Jordan, they put their clocks back on the Thursday, and I didn't leave till the Friday. Sorry, forward. And then I did it again in Lebanon. They put their clocks back same time as us. So I think it's not fair. I've lost 2 whole hours, but you've given me one back, so thank you very much. But Mary gets stuck, you see. And it takes one special word from Jesus to kind of break her out of it. You notice the word, somebody said her name, yes? And wouldn't you love to have been there just to hear how Jesus said her name? I wish I could guess it. But it was so full of love, so full of compassion, so full of forgiveness, so full of understanding that the minute he spoke her name, all that unblocking went. And she could see at last, this is him. And she rushes up to him and she grabs hold of him. She's missed him once. She doesn't want to miss him again. And Jesus has to say, whoa, wait a minute. We're in a new era here. Don't hold me back. You're going to see me, but see me different from now. So don't cling on. Everything's changed. The new relationship that I'm bringing is not like the old one walking around Galilee and eating and talking and discussing and praying. Soon I'm going to go to the Father and sit with him. So don't hold me back. I will be with you because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit for all of you, not just in the first century, not just in Galilee and Israel and Palestine, but in every place, at every time, even in Glasgow in the 21st century. That's the promise of what he is doing. Now, here's the second thing. I asked you another question, maybe slightly more difficult. After Mary had met with Jesus, what did you notice she did next? Have you got it? What did she do next?
She had to tell the disciples.
That is amazing. Thank you. Straight away. Now, this is a world, and it's still like it in some parts of our world, where one person on their own, if you go and speak when you're on trial in a court, you cannot be believed. You have to have more than one person. Jesus sends one person to tell the story, Mary. And this was also a world, and there are some parts of the world like it still, where you don't listen to women. And Jesus revealed himself to Mary and then told her to go and to tell the others. And maybe that's something to do with why later on he had to tick them off because they didn't get it and they were so slow to believe. But it's very interesting how Jesus changes everything. And she makes Mary the first messenger of the gospel. Messenger can be translated sometimes angel, sometimes apostle. So it's like Mary is the apostle to the disciples, the apostle to the apostles. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that encouraging? And she, of course, had a mixed up background too. And Jesus is not bothered. All he wants is her, who has seen him, to go and to tell. Isn't that amazing? So we have two things to celebrate here this morning. Firstly, that their seeing means you and I can believe here and now. And secondly, that with Mary, we are given the command and given the responsibility of passing on that message. Seeing and believing is really important. And I hope these next 4 weeks will really drive down into it with the different people who go through the same experience. You see, sometimes people say to us, oh, I'm glad you've got Christian faith. You're obviously a believing kind of person. You've something in your genes, you know, something about you just makes you a kind of faithful person. And it seems to be all right for you, but I can't get my head around it. So I'm saying, that's not right. That's not right in our kind of world. There's more to it than that. It's much more solid than that. It's not just either that you were just kind of brought up to it, you know, where Ralph and Sarah have been working and where Helen and I worked. A lot of people are brought up to faith, but they still got a journey to make to understand it for themselves. We're used to that. And many of us, most of us, myself included, were not brought up to it. But you still get people thinking that, don't you? Oh, you must be a Christian because you swallowed it, you know. You took it in with your mother's milk and you've kind of grown up with it. You're never really worried about it. And that's you, isn't it? Well, that would be interesting, but that's not enough. That's not enough in the kind of world where we're having a big election. We'll have it UK this year and we'll have it in Scotland again next year. And if you're a Christian, it's really very difficult to be a public Christian, isn't it? You get mocked for it. You get hammered for it. Pray for those who are Christian candidates, whatever flavor they are, to be courageous in their faith. Not just to be pragmatic and do what works, but to own up to being a follower of Christ and demonstrate that their following Christ affects their policies and why you should vote for them. Let's pray for that, shall we? That would be good. Or in a world like ours, just growing up with it or just being a believing kind of person when you could go to university one morning and find that 147 of you, only because you are Christians, are shot to death. That happened in Kenya this week. It's happening in wider circles, I think. And this kind of faith that you just kind of grow up with, or this kind of faith that is just because you're a nice believing kind of person, that won't do. You need more than that. And you've got it here. Because they saw, and they told, and they wrote it, so you and I can be sure that what we believe is right. That's the point of seeing is believing. So I want just to leave this, and we could talk about this later on over coffee. I won't take my second hour. You'll be glad to hear. I just want to leave this for you because this is the great day of celebration for Christians in many parts of the world. But this is also a special day for you and for me, and a special day for us to stop for a moment and say, they saw, am I believing? The whole point of their story, of telling their story, was so that you and I should believe and really believe what they saw and what it meant. So my question is very simple, but it's the biggest question you'll ever be asked in the whole of your life. Are you a true believer today? Because they saw, you may believe. Many of us are already believers, and we're celebrating this day. Some of us have kind of grown up with it. Some of us are kind of believing kind of people. Today, let's make sure, as in a little while we come round this table and we take bread and wine, as we think over what they saw and what they passed on for us, and especially as we give thanks for Mary, who did it first. Will you take the opportunity to make sure that you are believing because what they saw? Amen.